who said when he was a young man, he could remember anything, whether it ever happened or not. But now that he had grown older and his faculties had decayed somewhat, he could only remember the things that never happened. It's sad to go to pieces like this, but we all seem to have to do it. The reason that I tell this little story is because I am in my 89th year and trying to set down a few of my recollections and some other things that I have learned over the years. It's hard to do. In 1938, I came to the Cape to live, to make my residence here. And it's always been a hard thing to understand exactly what a native down here is. In your mother's arms as a baby, you're still not a native. And I have this little story that I like to tell. It involves Harold Tuttle and Luther Edwards, two people who formerly lived here in the village. And one Sunday morning they happened to meet, and Harold said to Luther, "At the rate these summer folk are coming down here and buying up property and building houses, it won't be long before you and I are the only natives left." And Luther sort of snorted and said, "Native? You're no native." "Well," Harold says, "I always thought I was born here." "Yes," he said, "but your father was born in Harwich. So I guess to be a native, you have to be born here, but your father and perhaps your grandfather, and I don't know how far back, makes you a native. I'm living in the town of Chatham, Massachusetts. And originally, when we came down here, I was born in Taunton. And we used to come down here in the summertime as a boy. We came by horse and buggy and made it in 2 days. It was about 80 miles. And later on, by the New Haven Railroad, the Chatham branch got you here, and you spent the summer here, and so forth. When I first came to Chatham in the early days, my boyhood days, Chatham was not pronounced that way. It was always called Chatham, like Wareham, like Eastham. Somebody asked Joe Lincoln one time why they put the ham on, Chatham. He said, "Well, you wouldn't say hum sandwich, would you?" The real reason why it was called Chatham, though, goes back to colonial days when the whole oceanfront from Eastham to Chatham was called Eastham. And for many years, it remained Chatham. But phonetically, it is a bit harder to say Chatham than Chatham. So I guess we being lazy people, we say Chatham. However, one time I was up in Wareham. That's Wareham, it's spelled, but they call it Wareham. And the story is told that a One time a Methodist minister was out making parish calls, just walking around from house to house, and this was back quite a ways. Along came a girl riding a bicycle. She was wearing bloomers. They were very stylish then, about to be. And the girl asked the minister, "Is this the way to wear them?" And he said, "I don't know. I never saw any before." Occasionally, on my way home from work, I was in the oyster business then, I would stop off to visit a friend by the name of Frederick C. Lane. He was a writer, a lecturer, a world traveler. At one time he edited a baseball magazine. He was a biologist and at one time went down for the state of Massachusetts to study the lobster business, fishery, as it existed at that time at Monomoy Point in the Powder Hole. I guess the reason I stopped there was because it was a real education to stop to talk with this man. He was so well educated and had done so many different things. He presented me with a book of his poems, and his book held over 90 some odd poems, and some of them were about the things right there that we were looking at, like Chatham Bars and Monomoy and all that sort of thing. I wonder that we aren't using more of those poems today. Some of them are pretty good. One that I'd like to recall is the first one in the book, entitled On Old Cape Cod. How rich is life on old Cape Cod, where autumn smiles and goldenrod, and marshes flame, though not with fire, a region blessed of heart's desire. In vain we'd roam the seven seas, there are no quainter shores than these. Here nature in indulgent mood enfolds us in her solitude, and here the cleansing winds combine the tonic of the salt and pine, the while old ocean's muffled swells are chiming like cathedral bells. The days drift by without a care as sweet fern odors scent the air, while watching wheeling gulls at play, the world of strife seems far away. It must have been a kindly God who shaped the sands of old Cape Cod. There are many good poems in his book, but another that I like to remember is, if you can picture a elderly man, gray-haired man, walking along the ocean side and just out of reach of the breakers, and he came upon this little maid who was playing in the sand, and he said, "How now, little maid, in your bonnet arrayed, with that quaint little shell in your hand? Not a shell, but a boat? Oh, I see. Let it float far away from these mountains of sand. It will sail, so I'm told, down a pathway of gold, where the sun paves the sea with its beams, to some tropical isle, where the skies always smile on childhood's endeavors and dreams. But, honey, don't cry if it sinks by and by, like a fluttering bird to its nest, for the wild waves that play in their blundering way, like the oncoming years, never cease." My heart, just offshore from Cape Cod are two islands, Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. And it is, while they're not Cape Cod, they're frequently mentioned, like the paper would say, in Cape Cod and the islands. And there are some good stories. Of course, that's where whaling was done in its early days. And there are some good stories there. For instance, there I guess about everybody has heard the limerick about the man from Nantucket who kept all his cash in a bucket. His daughter named Nan ran away with a man, and as for the bucket, Nantucket. Pa followed the pair to Pawtucket, the girl and the man with the bucket. He said to the man he was welcome to Nan, but as for the bucket, Pawtucket. The pair followed Pa to Manhasset, where he still held the cash as an asset. The girl and the man stole the money and ran, and as for the bucket, Manhasset. Well, the upshot of it was I got to thinking about it. One night I couldn't sleep, and so I wrote another verse to the limerick, and I wrote to the Nantucket Savings Bank and told them the story that I thought that the thing was left pretty much up in the air and that we ought to try to finish the limerick. So I made up a little verse about when at last the old man from Nantucket went in search of his cash in his bucket, he discovered that Nan had returned with the man to bank the cash back in Nantucket. And I said, back in the Nantucket Savings Bank, where it now belongs, and we can lay this to rest and feel much more comfortable about it. Followed the pair to Pawtucket. The girl and the man with the bucket, he said to the man he was welcome to Nan, but as for the bucket, Pawtucket. And some other periodical contributed the following. Pa followed the pair to Manhasset. The pair followed Pa to Manhasset, where he still held the cash as an asset. The girl and the man stole the money and ran, and as for the, I guess I should say, and as for the, and as for the bucket, Manhasset. At last, when the man from Nantucket went in search of his cash and his bucket, he found out that Nan had returned with the man to bank the cash back in Nantucket. One of the banks, Nantucket Savings Bank, used to advertise over the radio how easy it was to put money in there and difficult it would be to take it out because it would be a little unhandy to go over to Nantucket to get it. So I guess I wrote them a letter and I said that, well, the opposite was true with me. It was hard to get it in there, but easy to take it out. However, I had hoped that they might reply to my letter, but I never heard anything from the bankers. I guess they couldn't be, maybe they don't have a sense of humor. While we're talking about Nantucket, we ought to mention the Alarm Skipper. Many a long, long year ago, Nantucket skippers had a plan of finding out, while lying low, how near New York their schooners ran. They greased a lead before it fell, and then by sounding through the night, knowing the soil had stuck so well, they always got their reckoning right. A skipper gray, whose eyes were dim, could tell by tasting just the spot, and so below he doused the glim, after of course his something hot. One night was Jonathan Marden's watch, a curious wag the peddler's son, and so, he thought, the wanton wretch, tonight I'll have a grain of fun. We're all a bunch of silly fools to think the skipper knows by tasting what ground he's on. Nantucket schools don't teach such stuff with all their basting. And so he took the well-greased lead and rubbed it over a box of earth that stood on deck a parsnip bed. And then he sought the skipper's berth. The skipper, "Where are we now, sir? Please to taste." The skipper yawned, stretched forth his tongue, then opened his eyes with wondrous haste. And then upon the floor he sprung. The skipper stormed and tore his hair, thrust on his boots, and roared at Marden, "Nantucket sunk, and here we are right over old Mom Hackett's garden." Many people who come to Cape Cod after they've been here by the name of Tupper up in Sandwich, he wrote a poem, and it goes like this. "I dreamt that I went to the city of gold, to heaven resplendent and fair, and after I entered that beautiful fold, by one in authority there, I was told that not a Cape Codder was there. Impossible, sir, far from my own town. Many sought this delectable place, and each must be here with a harp or a crown, or a conqueror's palm, and a clean linen gown, received through unmerited grace." The angel replied, "All Cape Codders come here when first they depart from the earth, but after a day or a month or year, appear and sigh for the land of their birth. We give them the best that the kingdom provides. They have everything here at their nod, but not a Cape Codder in heaven abides. A very brief period here he resides, then hikes his way back to Cape Cod. But not a Cape Codder in heaven abides.
Well, I think it's running fine. Let me see here.